Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood alongside Mary Margaret West.
Hey.
And today, special guest and original, one of the original founding voices of the podcast.
I remember those years ago.
Mr. Chris Swain.
Back again.
Yeah. So if you are new to the podcast, you can go back and listen to the first few dozen. I forget how many we did.
I don't remember.
It was a lot.
There were several.
Yeah.
They were
so
good.
So you can go back and listen to those. I have known Chris Swain for like 26 years.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Since eighth grade.
Right. It's been a while. I think I've done the math right there. At any rate.
That's pretty good.
Chris as longtime student ministry veteran and now serves as the director of Replicate Ministries.
That's right.
Which is a disciple-making ministry founded by Robbie Gallaty.
Yes.
And so we want to spend this episode diving in with Chris on discipleship in student ministry. So
that's a great topic.
If we begin with the end in mind, we're going to lay out, by we, I mean Chris, is going to talk through some of the strategy behind an application behind what they teach as a part of Replicate, as well as some ways that you can connect with that ministry. And we'll also talk about some common maybe misunderstandings of discipleship that we see in student ministry. But let's start off with, Chris, if you just want to give everybody a explanation of what Replicate is,
yes,
how it came to be, and what you guys seek to do as an organization that partners closely with churches.
Yeah, so Replicate started in 2008. Pastor Robbie Gallaty, as you mentioned, who is the founder of Replicate and current leader, president of the organization, as we like to call him.
El Presidente.
Doesn't necessarily love the title, but we like giving it to him, you know. So he started Replicate because he realized that churches are supposed to be making disciples, but we're not making disciples.
Yeah.
Or at least we were not then as effectively as we could be. And I would argue we're probably still not as effectively as we could be. We make a lot of decisions. We make a lot of attendance. And we make a lot of spreadsheets, but we don't make a lot of disciples, would be my current assessment of church and ministry, and even specifically student ministry, with my experience in that for a little while. So I would say when he started Replicate, the goal was, how do we equip churches to make disciples?
Yeah.
And in the beginning, he thought, man, let's get after the people and help them make disciples. You know, here's how you do it. Here's how you start a group, invest your life, multiply, hold each other accountable, that kind of thing.
Actual church members.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's just go to the people.
Right.
And after doing that for a while, he realized that the people would go back to their pastor or their leadership, and the leadership and pastor would be like, sounds good. I don't know what you're talking about, really. Surprising, isn't
it?
You know, surely we would listen better to our people. So he thought, man, we need to go after the leaders and really help them see the vision for it, understand how to do it, and equip them to do it a little bit more effectively than, and that process has worked better. So
yeah.
More recently, we've shifted to, and you know, I say more recently, about halfway through the ministry, 4 or 5 years in, they realized we've got to target leaders. And so our goal now is to equip leaders to make disciples in their churches.
Yeah.
And that way, the people then understand, and anybody can understand it. But again, if you're not leading from the top, a lot of times it's going to be a challenge to get a lot done in a church. And so we equip leaders and basically just remind we know this is not rocket science. We're supposed to be making disciples. You look at the Great Commission, and most of the time I would argue we think of the Great Commission as the word go, but that's just one word in a longer commission that is really supporting the term make disciples. And go is part of making disciples, teach is part of making disciples, and baptizing, all of that connects back to the make disciples statement.
Yeah, one process,
right?
Not several processes
exactly
that get treated individually many times in churches. So here we are. This is another episode that we're recording live at Youth Pastor Summit, this time in Nashville.
Yes.
And we're actually the host church for this event. For this stop is Long Hollow Baptist Church, where Robbie Gallaty is the pastor, where Chris serves as a part of the Replicate team here.
Yes.
And you guys, one of the things that that I love about Replicate and about Robbie and what you guys are doing is that this is a process that you guys actually rolled out in your church.
Right.
So it's not an organization that exists that just tells people how to do stuff.
Yeah. We think you, this would be good.
You actually do yeah. it and have rolled right. it out. And knowing a little bit about what goes on here, you guys actually did this with the staff first.
Right.
Yeah. In discipleship groups before you rolled it out to the... Now talk about that process and how important that was for the staff piece of
yeah.
it.
So Pastor Robbie feels pretty passionately that if he were not a lead pastor, he would not be as effective in leading Replicate and leading other leaders to make disciples. Because we look at Long Hollow and really every church he served at as that living laboratory for disciple making.
Yeah.
We make mistakes here. Great things happen here, and we're able to say, here's what we've learned. And the beauty is, you know, he's done it in three church contexts. Church of 65, his first church.
Okay.
A church of about 700-800, the second church, and then now a church of, you know, 5,000-6,000.
Yeah.
And so looking
so
at
scalable
it,
and
yeah,
reproducible.
Yeah, scalable. Yeah. So in Long Hollow specifically, as you asked, how did we start it here? You know, he came in and realized in order for this to be a long-term process, in order for it to be embraced by the staff, he needed to create a culture for disciple making. And step one for that is to disciple the staff and key leaders and to make sure they understand what we're going to do. So he was willing to say, let's take an entire year before we start this process in our church and let's walk the staff through this process. So it's a long term. And that's one of the reasons that so many people, I think, resist it or try something different, because we're looking for that quick 3 month, 1 month, 3 week process.
Yes.
We're challenged to invest in something that's going to be like, man, this is going to take 3, 4, 5 years before we start seeing actual fruit.
Yeah.
But man, we're in it for the long haul. And as ministers, whether you're at a church for a short time or a long term, you want to make an impact that's going to be lasting and ultimately build a culture of people who are multiplying themselves, holding each other accountable, and doing what Jesus told us to do, make disciples.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so good. And, you know, I've had some friends who've walked through that here at Long Hollow and just who've implemented in their own churches and have seen, you know, the how it truly does replicate, you know, like,
yes.
And I think that that is the key piece, is it's training and equipping people. Like, how can you kind of explain what that looks like in a D group and how it kind of like morphs down into like a next phase of discipleship, like once somebody has been discipled?
Yeah. So when we talk about discipleship, almost all the time as leaders, we think, okay, programming, what does that mean? You know, are you going, you going through a book? Are you, you know, is this something you do in your Sunday school or your small group ministry? And so what we try to talk about, and it's really the one unique piece, because everyone kind of has worship at their church. Everyone kind of has some type of group ministry, and everyone's doing missions to some extent. But this discipleship group ministry, and I think what you're referencing there, is this specific organizational structure to build discipleship in the church for multiplication and accountability. So these, what we call discipleship groups, are groups of 3 to 5, guys with guys, girls with girls, for the goal of multiplication and high accountability. So
that would be separate from
life group, small group. So we look at each piece of this. We call it discipleship pathway. You need to be involved in, you know, congregation, worship, community, biblical community, where you break bread, you teach the word, you do some key things that we see from the book of Acts that we know we should be doing. That's our Sunday school, our life group, our small group. But then in discipleship, we do some things that are unique to that environment. One, we're holding each other accountable to the things we're saying we're doing. Like we're reading the word and then asking each other how we're living that out. Not just, hey, I read some stuff, but what are you doing about what you've read?
Yeah.
And then we're multiplying. Our suggestion is, you know, 9, 12, 18 months, a multiplication of those groups of 3 to 5. And where we're kind of looking at Jesus's ministry, he had the 120, he had the 12, but then he also had Peter, James, and John.
Yeah.
And so in that setting, we see some different things taking place. And so that's where we emulate that. And as far as the time frame of multiplication, we want to see it happen in about a year's time, because it's not something where you can say, hey, I've taught you some things over a couple months now. We'll see you later.
Yeah.
You want to invest for a period of time where you can, what we would say, walk through a season of life with those you're leading.
Yeah.
And you don't want it to be so long you never break up and multiply, you know. But at the same time, you want it to be long enough to develop those deeper relationships and to really, I mean, you can put on a front for a long time.
Right.
And we all know students can do it just like anybody can. Mm-hmm. And it takes 3-4 months, I would argue, before you really begin to open up and have some honest conversations and have that high level of accountability beyond how long can I put on a show here. So that's one of the key things that we try to see happen in the discipleship group.
Yeah.
So that's a basic structure of that portion of the group.
Awesome.
So you meant you start off, and they know in the beginning, when I'm a part of this group, the goal is for me to lead one of these groups
right.
at the end of this process. And yes. you mentioned 9, 12, 18 months. Is that just kind of based on where the people are? So one person might be ready at 12 months. One right. person might be ready at longer.
Right. Well, we want to multiply the whole group at the same time. So we're working okay. toward a target. But the reason we give those options is, one, for like college students and high school students, two groups that I've led specifically, their life is kind of based around that school schedule.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so it's easier, we found, to say, let's start in August and multiply in May.
Yeah.
Because when summer hits, you may be moving away, you yeah. know, if you're in college.
Yeah,
or
that's right.
even if you're a student, it might be like vacation, all these things take place. With adults, sometimes it's easier to say, let's start in January, multiply in December, because we kind of operate more on that ongoing yeah. schedule throughout the year. And then sometimes you're like, man, we need to go a little bit longer with this group. You know, yeah. maybe they were new believers, maybe there's some challenges, and you want to go for that 16 or that 18-month time frame. And so the goal is to say, hey, it's not super specific. You have to do it this way. But at the same time, set that goal from day one, work towards that so that they know the multiplication is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because that's the biggest challenge with discipleship groups. Yes, we say we want them to multiply, but if we don't intentionally work toward that, it's not going to happen. So you set that goal from day one. When they join the group, they know this is what I'm stepping into.
Right. And this is something that students can engage in too. Like yes. it's not something, and I think maybe that could be one of those common misunderstandings, is that, oh, this is just for, like, students can be in a discipleship group.
Right.
They can't necessarily lead one. And I think that's a misunderstanding sure. of
yeah.
this. Now, certainly there's training, like all those right. things are involved, but speak to that if you would.
Yeah, I think it's going to be dependent on your ministry and your leadership style and what you want to do. We've trained at churches where, and here at Long Hollow, we have high school students at certain levels discipling others.
Yeah.
At the same time, we've trained in churches where they don't feel comfortable with any level of student discipling just because, you know, that's the way they want to do it. And that's
yeah.
fine.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to be careful with, obviously, is when you're walking with people, it's the accountability side of things that's challenging.
Yeah.
You know, if you think of the accountability questions that can come up in a middle school guy's discipleship group, okay, I'll just let you go wherever you're going to go with that.
Let's run through yeah. some yeah. of those right now.
No. Or not.
We're not going to list those off. But, I mean, who can navigate that? You know,
yeah.
and even as an adult leader of those students, you've got to be careful what lines you're going to cross. So yeah. there's some safety precautions, obviously, you need to take and
right.
some wise direction. But yeah, once you disciple leaders, and whether they're, you know, in 11th grade, 12th grade, I would say in middle school, junior high, we probably encourage parents and adults
right.
to do it.
Absolutely.
More so than anything else. And then probably all the way up to those higher levels in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then in those old, you know, you just have to gauge the individual leader and say, man, this 12th grader is sharp. He gets it. I trust him. We're gonna do allow him to lead a group. And then to, as always, you know, constantly be listening and watching and observing and leading.
Yeah.
You know, one of the number one questions we get is, how are you making sure that no one's teaching heresy and, you know, in these groups and they're not going crazy? And I'm like, how do you do that in any group?
Yeah.
You know, right. how do you know your people in Sunday school aren't doing that right now?
Yeah.
And so they're, but
some
but,
people just went, oh boy.
I need to make some calls
about that.
So at some level, you're trusting people you lead to do what you ask them to do.
Yeah.
And you can do everything you can to ensure that there is a safety net and you can be as accountable as possible. But ultimately, if we're going to unleash people to be in ministry and to lead in ministry, we have to do just that. We have
yeah.
to let them go and do that. So you have to decide what you want your people to do, what your expectations are, what your church is what road they're going to go down, and then unleash them to go and do that.
And as with anything with students, there's a large piece of that that's modeling for them.
Yep.
And so even if it's a ninth grader that you're like, man, I'm not going to put this ninth grader in charge of other students to lead this, you're modeling for them what that discipleship group
right.
looks like so that when they get to that place, whether it's college or a senior,
right.
like they are, you're creating in them the DNA
yes.
to be a disciple maker.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. And one of the things we do with the discipleship group, and the reason we feel good starting in middle school here at Long Hollow, is we want to teach them how to do the Here Journal. So when
yeah.
it comes to our discipleship groups, one of the kind of the core part of that meeting is them reading the word on their own and highlighting a section of that passage, explaining it. What does this mean? Who is it written to? What's the context? Applying it to their life and then respond, taking that actual first step to that application.
Yeah.
And so we start actually with our kids teaching that here method, because I want my 7-year-old to know this is how I read, study, and apply God's word.
Yeah.
And so that process takes place even younger in our church, with parents discipling their kids in our children's ministry and how they navigate different things. And then as they become middle schoolers, they realize, okay, this is what I share in my discipleship group. And then as high schoolers, as they're discipled, as they begin to lead, that habit is what we're trying to build into their life, yeah. reading and applying God's word. And that's at the very heart of all of this, because that ultimately, you know, teaching them to obey all I've commanded you,
right.
again, the Great Commission, yeah. That's how we do that. And so it's important that that becomes the heart of what we're trying to convey to all students of all ages. And I think that helps us build that habit. So like you said, whatever time they're ready, they understand the basics of what we're trying to accomplish.
So let's talk about the Here Journal, because you said that's the core piece of it, because it's kind of the system by which they learn to study right. God's word for themselves.
Yes.
So they read a couple chapters, one chapter, they focus in on one specific section. Talk right. us through how yeah. you would teach somebody to use this.
Sure. Yeah, so the key with the discipleship group, and with any group, I would say, where you're trying to walk through the word together, whatever you want to call that group and however you want to do it, is to be on the same page together. So we're reading the same areas of Scripture.
Yeah.
We actually have a plan with Replicate. We work with Lifeway on Foundations 260. It's a meta-narrative, couple chapters a day, 5 days a week, weekends off. It's a very doable plan.
We Lifeway, there's student exactly. version that Life
we
that
love.
We yes. do.
Yeah, yeah. There's a student version, and then we just released a New Testament version of that, which is one chapter a day through the whole New Testament, same thing, 5 days a week, weekends off. And so what we've done is we've tried to say, here's how you can begin taking steps. And people are always like, can I read more? What do I do? I'm like, of course you can read more.
No.
Pick up your Bible.
You
and
may
read
not.
Yeah.
But we want to provide something that's doable, because yes. most of the time people quit reading and creating that habit because it just seems so daunting.
Yeah.
You know, a couple months into the process. So what the HEAR method is basically just an acronym. Pastor Robbie developed this over 2 years of flying to seminary every week. He's like, I'm going to be in a seat next to somebody. I'm going to ask a couple questions. So yeah. he did an informal poll, and he realized that people don't read the word generally because they either feel like they don't have time or they're not, quote unquote, getting anything out of it.
Yeah.
So he's like, how do we work against that? You know, how do we help people get something out of it, so to speak? And so half of the HEAR method, apply and respond, is action. Most of the time reading plans are about just reading and, oh, I found some new truth, this is awesome, let me tell someone else about it, high five and move on. But with the HEAR method and the model that we're, you know, helping them understand and that we use, and in our staff meeting here in about 30 minutes, we'll all share our HEAR journals to as the bulk of the meeting, is what I'm reading consistently and how I'm applying that to my life.
Yeah.
And so, again, you highlight a section of Scripture, you look at the explanation of that, the who, what, when, why, where type stuff, but then what does that mean for our lives as believers, and then specifically, what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
And it's just profound, because it turns that corner from, okay, I'm reading, I'm studying, but are you doing anything with it?
Right.
You know, and that's what we want to push all of our people, and I would say every leader in a church, every ministry leader wants to see their people living out what God is saying
yeah.
and seeing their lives radically changed versus, man, I've learned a whole lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's great to learn stuff, but if you don't do anything with it, it's meaningless, right?
Yeah, and two things, Chris, that I thought of from what you were just saying. A, you just said that y'all, in your staff meeting, y'all are going to talk about what you read in the Bible.
Yes.
When's the last time that happened for a lot of it? You know, like, honestly, right. like, in a, you know, I love that is a part of just, it yeah. goes down to the very DNA of
right.
your staff meetings. Like, and then it's not just like, oh, hey, this is a great idea for y'all to try. Like, it's
right.
it's very much a part of the whole culture here at Long Hollow, you know, everything to replicate. So I love that. And then two, I think so often I will get people sending me an email asking me at a conference, hey, like, what would be, like, I'm trying to do discipleship, what Bible study should I use?
Right.
And I'll ask the question, well, how are you studying the Bible together? Like,
yeah.
you know, and are you helping students engage in the word? Like, and they'll go, well, no, that's what I want a Bible study to do. And I'm like, well, if, and it's trying to help clarify what discipleship is and isn't,
sure.
and bringing it back down to a lot of what I recommend a lot is Foundations 260,
yeah.
because it really gives a plan that's super approachable,
right.
that works,
yeah.
and that teaches students and leaders. Cause I think part of the problem here is that a lot of leaders don't know how to read the Bible outside right. of a Bible study, like, and yeah. gain something from it. So it helps them to get to that point to when they can walk yeah. students walk through it.
Yeah. And when they go back to the Bible study, they just bring so much yeah. more with them. And mm-hmm. so it's not that Bible studies aren't good. It's no. that, you know, it's important that we develop, you know, feeding ourselves
yep.
yes. the word and applying that. And so then when you are leading some other type of study, it's like, man, there's going to be more depth
yeah.
that you're bringing to the mix. So that's a great insight. And I think it's something that, like you said, with the culture here, you know, I do love the fact that we do focus on that. And more than the Excel spreadsheets, we're focusing on the Word of God.
Yeah.
Not to say, hey, your church isn't doing that,
yeah.
but it's just awesome to be a part of a church that is doing that.
Yeah.
And I hope more and more churches do it.
Mm-hmm. Mary Margaret, you brought up an interesting point in, when you were talking a second ago about leaders sometimes not understanding how to get into God's word for themselves.
Yeah.
Leaders not being through an intentional discipleship process mm-hmm. before they go into ministry. And Chris, you guys have engaged with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches, thousands of churches.
Yes.
At this point, do you run into a lot of church staff members that would say, yeah, I was never intentionally discipled?
Yeah, we definitely get that more than anything else. You know, I've been led by someone, or someone taught me some things yeah. on the fly, or
mentored
in
leadership.
Observed, right.
Yeah.
But as far as like individual leaders being discipled, it's a very low number. Mm. I don't know what the number is specifically, but it's mostly they have not been discipled.
Yeah.
And even more challenging is they don't know how to implement a wide discipleship strategy to make sure their people are being discipled.
Yeah.
You know, the stats just came out of Facts and Trends. Scott McConnell, always doing the research.
Yes.
He's asking people questions all day long in my mind. He's on the phone right now. But the report came out talking about discipleship, and 78% say that there's work to be done on their discipleship in their church.
Yeah.
So the great news is they know we
right.
need help.
Yeah.
That's the starting point. We all need help. You know, and I tell people all the time, it's not that Replicate knows more than you. So we paid the dumb tax over multiple years so that we can help you not have to do that same mistake
yeah.
or have that same mistake. And so I think with leaders, it's one, they haven't been discipled, but then two, they've kind of just relied on, okay, we've got Sunday school, or we've got small groups, so we're discipling people. And then when you begin to look at what that actually, that's just another class
yeah.
for a lot of churches. So it's go to worship and then hear a mini mm-hmm. sermon from another leader, and then where's the discipleship actually
yeah.
happening?
Yeah.
And a
yeah.
lot of teachers who get curriculum in their hands, who know how to teach and facilitate,
right.
but don't really know how to dive in deeper than that. And
yes.
and how these things are just super simple ways to truly just engage with the Word of God
right.
and community with other people and be able to take it a step further.
Yes.
Yeah. I think one of the things that stands out to me too about the pathway is that I think another common misunderstanding is that when you talk about this, it devalues programming.
Right.
And that's not the truth.
No.
Right.
Mm-mm.
The pathway says you need to be in a corporate worship setting.
Right.
You need to be in a
biblical
larger
community right.
yeah. what we would call a life group or Sunday school class
right.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there is also this discipleship group.
Right.
that makes it possible for real, true accountability and
yeah.
more focused application of God's word. Just because the smaller group, I mean, listen, the reality is people are more likely to share truths and be vulnerable with a group
right.
of three than they are with a group of 12.
Right.
Yeah.
But you still need the group of 12.
For sure, yeah. And one of the beauties of the pathway is it allows, you know, we've taken small group, Sunday school, whatever you want to call it, and it's become the junk drawer of ministry. Where
yeah.
do the missions take place? Sunday school. Where does discipleship take place? Sunday
Ooh.
School. Where does everything in Sunday school? So it's nothing.
Right.
It's ultimately accomplishes none of that. And so what the beauty
wow.
of the pathway is, it says, no, the biblical community is for a few things. And we look at the book of Acts. It's breaking bread, studying God's word, and mutual care.
Yeah.
It's biblical and it's good. And so the key with that is to say, now we can take the pressure off of those groups.
Yeah.
And now, you know, hey, we want lost people coming to those groups. We want that to be an on-ramp to the church. We want that to be a place where we are family with one another.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to experience biblical community in a large room all looking at a pastor and a worship team. Right?
Yeah.
So you're not getting it there. And so if Sunday school or small group is just a lecture or a teaching time, you're not getting it there either. So we get to focus all of the effort on our biblical community. And what we try to teach with the pathway is that's where that can happen. and then you can move missions to where missions needs to be, mm-hmm. serving, and you can move accountability multiplication to the discipleship group.
Yeah.
And so it alleviates the pressure from a lot of leaders, but also I believe it just creates a more biblical model for ministry in your church.
So talk about how student pastors can benefit from what you guys offer through Replicate, because I know there's training and cohort groups that they can be a part of that,
right.
You know, you don't just leave the, you can, but you don't have to just leave this podcast and go figure things out on your own.
Right.
This is what you do every day.
Yes. Yeah. I think ultimately, you know, because you're listening to a podcast, you may like those. So we have a podcast, Making Disciples with Robbie Galley.
Yes.
And every week we talk about this kind of stuff. Over
How about
and over
he's
again.
Got a great podcast voice.
Oh yeah,
it is. It's a very good podcast voice, and he knows that.
He's aware.
No, his podcast voice is very good. I catch myself listening to it and going, oh wait, I was in that already. I've already heard that. But that podcast is a solid resource. Costs you nothing. Download it, listen to it. Just about everything we talk about in discipleship, we break it down in that podcast.
Yeah.
Ad nauseum. And yet we still have more to talk about. It's
yeah.
great. We have a blog, and that we constantly through the blog communicate different ways. You know, if you go to the website and search any topic, you're going to find probably a blog covering that. And then as well, we've got some additional things that you can get. Our Discipleship Blueprint is a kind of a online, it's a digital training that you can get and equip your people, yourself, your staff to make disciples. And that's something that you would have to purchase. But again, we like to say there's a lot of things you can get without spending a dime that it's going to help you mm-hmm. invest and make disciples. And there's some things that we do charge for. But we feel like with those things, it's taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
And then we just recently rolled out our equipping cohort. So online training at a high level where you're hearing from our whole Replicate team on a call every month. And you're able to ask any question. You know, maybe you've read the blogs, you listen to the podcast, you've done some things, you've implemented, and you're like, man, this is an issue. I haven't heard how to deal with this.
Yeah.
That cohort allows you to then ask, you know, Robbie, myself, Tim, Gus, whoever on the team, what are you guys doing here?
And that's all online.
That's all online, yes. It's all, just go to, again, replicate.org and look at the cohort, and you kind of see the details there. But yeah, those are the different things we offer. And really the goal is, how do we equip your church to make disciples? And we're seeing more and more churches do it, so we're excited about that.
That's yeah.
awesome.
So you can find out more, again, at replicate.org. Chris, thanks for taking some time to hang out with us and talk discipleship.
Yeah.
Good to have you back after
One thing
many
I do well
episodes.
Is talk.
That's true.
So,
That's good.
You put a microphone here, I can go all day.
Mary Margaret, any last words?
You know, I'm just grateful for this because it so simplifies something that we've made really complicated
yes.
in churches.
Yeah,
and so
that's right.
Just know, like, if you're listening today and like, and you're looking for something like this works. And like, and it really, I watch students grab a hold of the fact that like they can read and understand scripture on their own and like
yeah.
can read any passage that way. Cause it's what you're saying. They're like,
yeah.
can I read more? It's like, of course you can. Like,
yeah.
please do, you know, but of just going, let's first, like, let's, as a part of this whole process of them being involved in church life, you know, make
yeah.
sure that they know how to love and read God's word on their own and then let all of these other things build on top of that. And that's why I found
yeah.
it like foundations. I'll replicate. These words are super simple and straightforward. They do what they say they're going to do. So
yeah.
I'm really grateful for what you guys do.
Awesome.
I'll leave you with this. We found in the Within Reach research that 66% of those who are active in the church during their high school years leave the church during their college years.
Mm.
We also found that 50% of those who were in a discipleship group, an intentional, smaller discipleship group, like we've been talking about, only 50% of those leave.
Mm.
And so, you know, while we want to keep moving those numbers down,
yeah.
that is a significant difference between those who
yeah.
are in a small intentional discipleship group mm. staying connected to the church
yeah.
when they graduate.
That's good.
This has been another episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We will see you next time.